Now, if we're being honest, and we can be honest in church, there are a lot of times when we'll look at people and we'll default into all like, well, and we'll go however we were brought up or however we feel. But the heart of God is much more. They look beyond the physical and they look at the heart and where they came from and how they're broken. And that's the heart of God. The heart of God for you is he sees all of the struggles you have. He sees the brokenness. God sees the tears that nobody else sees, the tears you cry alone. God sees this. And that's why Nehemiah has that heart. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Hello and welcome back to In Christ Radio as we continue in our Hope Restored series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. Now last time we didn't fully get to complete chapter 3 as we began looking at the gospel gates and how the rebuilding of Jerusalem points us to God's ongoing work of restoration in our lives. So today we finish chapter 3 with Nehemiah chapter 3 verses 28 through 32 with the message titled, People Get Ready, The Gospel Gates. As the final gates and sections of the wall are repaired, we see the people working faithfully right up to the completion of the circuit. What began at the sheep gate now comes full circle. Throughout Scripture, gates represent access, opportunity or protection, and relationship. As these gates are restored, they remind us that God desires a people who are prepared, watchful, and ready for what He wants to do next. The rebuilding of the gates prepared Jerusalem for the future. God's work in our lives prepares us for His purposes. And God's restoration is never just about fixing the past. It's about preparing us for what lies ahead. Today, we can ask ourselves, are you allowing God to prepare your heart for what He wants to do next? Or are you only focused on what He has already done? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 28 through 32, with the gospel gates, People Get Ready.
If you have your Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 3. Today we're going to finish up chapter 3. Just kind of keep this in mind. I've been really focusing on the gates, and so we didn't hit every verse, and I really wanted to focus on the gates. And so today we're going to finish chapter 3, and next week we're going to be looking at just Sanballat, Tobiah. We're going to be looking at the attacks And I had the privilege and the honor today to talk about some of you that when you first get saved or when you start to walk with Jesus close, that you're going to be attacked. And there's going to be those enemies like the Sanballat and the Tobias and the Gershoms, and they're going to come out of these crazy places. And it's in Scripture. But one of the things that Nehemiah does is he doesn't fret about the attacks. He's not like, oh, God, I quit. He's like, listen, I'm on mission. And this is what we're going to do. If you gave your life to the Lord on Sunday, your life is in the Lord's hands. Your name is written in the books of life. There's nobody can take that away from you. It's your walk. It's your walk with Him and how so it's a beautiful thing. So you don't have to fret. And it's like, well, if I don't do this, you know what? You know what John 15 tells us? Abide in Christ. That's all he says. Abide in Him. You want to do the works of God? Abide in Him. That's all. All the other stuff, he'll work through the fruit and everything else. And so we're finishing up chapter 3. I gave you a little mini sermon. You're welcome. I'm not even going to charge you for that, guys. That's free. Give me a good amen if you're there.
Amen.
If you're not there, nudge your neighbor and go, I don't know where I'm at, but it's right between Ezra and Esther, and you'll be able to find it. I know we have some new people here, but we go through the Old Testament, and the Old Testament gives us a beautiful glimpse of Jesus. And it all points to Him. And so you're going to see here tonight, you'll be like, man, I'm a Sunday morning church goer, but now I'm a Wednesday night. And so if you come on Wednesday night, you're radical. You just need to know you're radical, man. You're just crazy in love with Jesus. And so that's amazing. So keep in mind, the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah starts to build the walls and starts to repair the gates, you realize it only takes 52 days. 52 days. And this is a miracle. This is just huge. It's something that only God can do. And you go, amen, Ben, amen. But I want to apply it this way. When it comes to building our lives and restoring relationships the way God's going to do, this is only something that God can do. And so we need to rely, we need to rest in him and allow him to restore the relationships that need to be restored. Allow him to put that spirit of forgiveness for those that we need to offer forgiveness for. And it's a God thing. It's a work of God. And so tonight, church, we're going to finish with all the gates. And we have three more specific gates we're going to talk about. Three. And it's just a beautiful reminder. So let's get into it. Okay. So by way of reminder, it's always good as we get into the Word of God to refresh your memories. I want you to remember Nehemiah is in Jerusalem right now. And he's surveyed the damage done to the walls and to the gates. Now, to you and I, when we read this, we're really not there. We're not feeling it. We're just kind of, oh, yeah, it was a bad situation in Jerusalem. But the walls, guys, of the city were broken. Think about that. The gates to enter the city were burned with fire. The walls were not only broken down, you could see, I mean, it was basically a rubble. And that was the exterior. That was the physical part. But what gets Nehemiah's heart is he says that much, much more the people were in distress. The people were in distress. Listen to the way it was told to Nehemiah. They told Nehemiah that those who had survived were back in the homeland and were in great difficulty, and that the foreigners who lived there looked down on them. You can imagine. You can imagine being there. This is your homeland, but now it's being invaded by foreigners, people who really didn't live there, and now you're moving back, and they're looking down on you. The distress of the people. Here in Nehemiah, the distress of the people was a reflection of their physical and social vulnerability following the Babylonian exile. So again, they're physical, but the phrase this great distress and reproach, it signifies not only a physical ruin of the city, but much more a spiritual and emotional pain felt by the survivors. And so I want you to feel the weight of the text, because you and I read it and we go like, yeah, the walls are down. People were bummed. No, they were more than bummed. They were in distress. This was this spiritual and emotional pain. You see, in your minds, focus this, the broken walls and the burned gates symbolized vulnerability. It symbolized loss of identity. And it was the urgent need for restoration. And Nehemiah, who I believe had a heart after God, his reaction to the news highlights the call to action that many feel when confronted with our injustice or suffering. I've got to do something. Are you kidding me? I think about the homeless person that maybe touches and tugs at your heartstrings when you see and you feel like, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. Now, if we're being honest, and we can be honest in church, there are a lot of times when we'll look at people, come on, somebody help me. We'll look at people and we'll default into all like, well, and we'll go however we were brought up or however we feel. But the heart of God is much more. They look beyond the physical and they look at the heart and where they came from and how they're broken. And that's the heart of God. The heart of God for you is he sees all of the struggles you have. He sees the brokenness. God sees the tears that nobody else sees, the tears you cry alone. God sees this. And that's why Nehemiah has that heart. And Nehemiah says, man, my people were in distress. It wasn't just like a simple thing to pass by. It wasn't just a, oh, yeah, they were. He was like, oh. Now, watch this. According to Stress in America article that I read, when they asked to rate their stress, their distress about specific news or topics or events, listen, many of them said the housing costs, we're stressed about houses. We can't afford a house. It's too much. 65%. 63% of Americans are stressed about mass shootings. We get that, don't we? We're afraid to open our phones in the morning and see what has transpired in the world, specifically in our schools with our children. 63, we're stressed about that. 62% of all surveyed in America stressed said they were stressed about the spread of false news. What do we believe anymore? We don't know what to believe. And every one of us will have an opinion based on something we saw or we read or we heard, and we don't know if it's true or not. And now we got to filter this. Because I don't know about you, but back in the day when we would watch the news, for the most part, in the 60s and 70s, they attempted to tell the truth for the most part. And so you sort of went, okay, I believe their credibility. But now you have no idea. And we're reverted back from Genesis to Revelation. What's the truth? The truth is the word of God. That's all we got. Yeah, but this person said that, well, we don't know for real. 60% of all Americans that were surveyed were stressed about social divisiveness in our nation. You can imagine. These were also significant sources of stress in people's lives. These were just a few. Housing, shootings, news, social divisiveness. So Nehemiah had a heart, and I think we need to have a heart as well. You see, at the end of the day, the bottom line is really simple, twofold. What's that? Number one, that our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that we're walking victoriously in Christ. And that we're growing. The point is to grow in the Word of God, in the knowledge of God, in who He is. And the Bible says that the pastor is not the teacher, although he orates and comes up and breaks down and unpacks the Word of God. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit who teaches you. And so when you sit there and you listen and you're engaged and you're tuned in and you're locked in, the Holy Spirit begins to knock in those areas of our lives that we need to grow in. And that's why on Sunday morning when Pastor said, hey, how many of you want to receive Christ? It wasn't this beautiful sermon that just transcended time. And are you kidding me? That was the best evangelistic sermon I've ever heard. It was the Holy Spirit that knocked on your heart and said, hey, you need to do this. Okay. That's what God does. That's what God does. Now, Nehemiah has a heart for people. And he was a man of compassion. Compassion. Nehemiah cared about his people. And his heart belonged to those who were hurting and broken. And I believe if Nehemiah had a heart after God, God is very much the same way. He cares about those who are hurting and broken, to which you and I can say, amen. Amen. The world's not our friend, church. The world's not our friend. It wants to destroy us. The three evils that we deal with every single day, the devil, the flesh, and the world. And all those want to shipwreck our faith. Nehemiah was a man of compassion. So what does he do? Do you remember what he does? He hears about it and he begins to pray. He begins to pray and fast. And we can be so easily convicted based on that because we could just sit here and the pastor could easily go, hey, how many of you pray like Nehemiah? And we all go, oh, man. When people say, pray for me, we're like, okay, and we say a prayer, and we don't really intercede like Nehemiah does. But see, God's not sitting here going, be like Nehemiah. He says, hey, when it comes to compassion, it moves us to action, and that action is real prayer. It's real prayer, and you're praying for your family, and you're interceding for those that need you, and you're praying for your loved ones, and you're praying for your coworkers. And he does even a step further. He fasts. He fasts, and he decides to go without food so that he can draw closer to God. And Lord, what do you have for me, for these people? Now, I want you to think of something, because to you, food might not be an issue. You can easily go, oh, sometimes I forget to eat. I could go all day without eating. And so fasting's not an issue for you, but there is something in your life that if it came up in your mind right now and said, hey, you need to not have that for a day or two or a week, you'd be like, right? We can fast our cell phones. Some of us are like, well, that's a piece of cake. And then others can't handle, what if we fast coffee? Well, now that's blasphemy. You know, you can't be talking that, man. Hey, hold up, time out, right? But that's it. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's the very thing that you're like, I can live with everything else, but I can't live without my, and you name it. Now, I would never get up here and say, you need to fast coffee, but think about this, that fasting is what draws us closer to God. And it gets us in a place where we can hear the voice of the Lord. That's what Nehemiah does. Now, if you don't mind, permit me to elaborate on why this is important to Nehemiah. You see, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. He had a cush job. He could have just said, listen, I wasn't even born in Jerusalem. I wasn't even born there. I was born here in exile. I'm the king's cupbearer. I got it made. I got all the perks. I seriously. But Nehemiah has the why. The why. You go, why did Nehemiah do that? Why would he take a leave of absence from his cush job, from his all his perks, his benefits? Because you and I noted there that the people were threatened by those who lived nearby, the foreigners. You see, when the walls were broken, there was no security. The walls and the gates provided a great deal of peace within the city. Now, let me say this to you. Here's where it brings application home. When the walls of our heart are broken, the walls of our... Now, listen, let me clarify this. I'm not talking about the walls you built because you've been hurt. Come on, somebody. I'm building walls because I've been hurt, and it's this thick, and nobody's going to get... I'm not talking about that. The Lord's going to have to deal with that separately. What I'm talking about is the walls of your heart and walking closer to the Lord, the security you feel in worshiping God. When those are breakdown, you don't have that peace. As a non-believer, we don't have that peace because... He is the Prince of Peace. And without it, our heart, the walls of our heart are broken. So we're missing security. The temple, guys, the temple back here was built, but the worship of God had stopped. Remember? In the book of Ezra, the temple was built. They were rejoicing, but it has stopped. Why? Think about this. Put your thinking caps on for a minute. It's hard to worship God knowing that you can be invaded anytime. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, for half a second, we invite you into worship, the band starts to play, but we have no security out there, doors wide open, anybody could come in here at any time. I think most of you would be like this, bless the Lord. I just want to make sure. And if the door's open, you're not in tune with God. You're looking, oh, who's that? I've never seen him before. Why is he wearing a trench coat? You know, all of these things are going in through your mind. And the point is they couldn't worship because they were always afraid that they would be invaded. Here's what's important, guys. It's important to know the why we do what we do. It's important for you to know why you're here on a Wednesday night worshiping the Lord. It's important for you to know why you share your testimony with others. What happened to me? Why you're witnessing and how God could do that for others. You see, what's going to happen in your life, Elias, and what's going to happen in all your lives is that you're going to, this beautiful thing of abiding in Christ, fruit is going to start to come out, and people are going to go, what happened? What did you do? Well, I gave my life to Christ. So what does that look like? And you'll begin to share what God is doing in your life and how God is restoring marriages and how God is restoring your heart and how God is doing incredible things. That's the witnessing, but you got to know the why. And you got to know the why you're serving. Why are you here cleaning the church? Why? Because the why is, man, it's the people. It's God. It's God. Listen, the people, Nehemiah's people, were in great distress and reproach. But not being able freely to worship the Lord was the final straw. We can't do it. We can't do it. Nehemiah had to do something. So he gets permission from the king. I'm going to take a leave of absence. And listen, we'll have the junior cup bearer, whatever it might be. I've got to go do this. But I want you to keep this in mind. Whenever we begin to build our lives in Christ, come on, somebody, and restore relationships, we can always count on opposition. And we'll talk about that more next week. But let me go back, okay? Chapter 3. For the last few weeks, we've talked about the gates, okay? In your mind, the city is built from basically north to south, east to west. It goes up. All of them had gates, walls and gates. And what we decided is in chapter 3, we were going to use the pilgrim's progress, the believer's progress from salvation, but he goes all the way to the great white throne judgment, all the way to the great white throne judgment. Now, let's run through the gates where we get a kind of a bird's eye view, okay? The first thing we talked about was the sheep gate, okay? The sheep gate. That is a bird's eye view of salvation. That's exactly what you did. You said yes to Jesus. You have to go through the sheep gate. Okay? It's a type of salvation. It's being born again. Now, remember, being born again means born from above. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can muster or conjure up or, hey, it's something that God does. And once you're born again, the next gate we talked about was the fish gate. The fish gate. You know what the fish gate is? It's sharing our faith and serving. It's sharing our faith. It's witnessing what Jesus has done in your life. Now, what happens is the enemy comes in and goes, well, you're not eloquent enough. You're not biblically literate enough. You can't share. And it's like, that's hogwash. We share what Jesus has done. You ready? Let me let you on a little secret. I once was, but now I am. That's all you got to do. I once was, now I am. I once was a dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking sinner. Can I get an amen? But now I'm born again, saved, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. You go, amen. See, it's really simple. And if somebody goes, well, let me ask you a question. You're a Christian, right? I'm a Christian. What happened? I don't know. I'm still growing. Well, I got a question. Did Adam have a belly button? That's silly. You're trying to trap me like you did Jesus. You're really not wanting to know. But I'll tell you, I once was, and now I'm not. Come on, somebody. I once wanted to lay hands on people, and now I want to lay hands on people. It's a big difference. You wanted to throw punch a lot of people back in your day, and now you're just loving on them. You're loving on them. So after the fish gate, we go to the old gate. And the old gate is a type of the timeless truths of the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Listen, church, do not stray from God's Word. And be careful with people who come in and go, I have a new revelation from God. Okay, your response, show me in the Bible. Well, it's not in the Bible. God talks to me. No. Sorry, not going to happen. Show me in the Bible because it's God's Word is true. Now, we can find new truth, new application to God's truth. Oh, okay, I can apply this. But we don't go, I've got a new revelation. From there, we go into the valley gate. Everybody jot down the valley gate because this is the trials and the suffering that are going to come into our lives. And we can't get around it. It's the trials. It's the suffering. It's all of that. And you need to remember that suffering as a believer is going to draw you closer to Jesus. And from the valley gate, we go to the refuge gate, otherwise known as the dung gate. I don't want that job, but the dung gate, you go, what's the dung gate? It's exactly what it is, dung. In the city, because everything flowed, right? From north to south, guess where it flowed out of? The dung gate. You go, what flowed? The sewer, the dirt, the junk, it all flowed, you know? It wasn't, I mean, in your minds, we're in what? We're in Western America, you know, the United States, Western, and we all have running water and toilets and everything. And she's saying, thank God. But back in that day, you wore sandals and you had to walk through there. And can you imagine? Don't sell. Ooh. Oh. You go, what's the point? Here it is. The dung gate, guys, is for you and I as believers. Come on, somebody. To constantly examine his own life in order to rid himself of unconfessed sin. When was the last time you went to God and said, how is it between us? What's in my heart? What do I need to confess? In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.